you guilty SOB. I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to forgive you and I'm let you off the hook. But don't forget that you're on the hook. This is the world's forgiveness, right? And Jesus, through the Course in Miracles, says, you guys have turned this beautiful idea of forgiveness into a direct attack. Only reason I have to forgive you is because you're guilty. Says the world. Says the ego. Course in Miracles says, wow, you guys are so far from the truth when you think that there is a causor and then a victim. That cause and effect are separated. Course in Miracles says, this is the huge illusion that you've had to do in order to be and to feel like you're separate from oneness, from God, from truth. You've had to do this, I understand, Jesus says. So, you know, in that way, I forgive you. And he laughs and he says, you're innocent. But you're really wrong. You're really wrong in where you have your identity in a separate being that can actually be separate. But for this, you come up with forgiveness, the world's forgiveness, and we're going to correct that. Of course, the miracle's forgiveness requires the miracle to see things differently. And now you no longer need to condemn because you translated what you thought was hurting you into something that does not affect you, who you really are. Despite what happens to your body, despite what happens to the bank account, despite what happens to your relationship. You've survived all of your other broken things. The older you are, the more you could add up and say, I never thought I'd survive that. I thought I'd never love again. I thought, you know, right? So you know that there's something that survives, the things that you would not forgive. Of Course in Miracles calls those sins. He says, there are no sins. You've survived all the bad things in your life. A lot of them you've forgotten even. So Course in Miracles forgiveness then finds a home in your mind. When you say, well, those were nothing. I can let go of those now because I don't even remember who did it. So I can forgive that. Oh, the fact is you can forgive because you are not affected. Hey, Brian. Whatever you really are, is unaffected. Cannot be affected ever by anything outside of you. This was our discussion last week, and we had to, this is basics of forgiveness in Course in Miracles versus forgiveness in the world. And it's, you know, because the world is where we call home right now. We're really drunk on this world. Time, space, separation. It's deep. Every time you look in the mirror, look, there I am, and I wave and something waves back. There's instant feedback that proves, well, here I am. The world was built for that by you. Good job. Well done. You really did it. I mean, it's really believable. It's just not true. And that's why you cannot find love with a capital L here. This is why not one iota of creation occurs here. Because it's not true. And in the realm of falsity, truth is not born, nor does it survive, nor can it be shared. And I hope for all of you, any description of love means you share. Course says, you've managed to find a way to be away from love. You believe now in the separation, and you can actually share. You can actually experience love. That's the only problem with this place. Otherwise, knock yourself out, have a good time. I'll be home when you get home. That's a prodigal son, you know? There's no problem. Except for you, poor you, the pain of not being able to express joy and love. It's the only problem with the world and be in a body. Otherwise, do it as long as you want. No harm done. Dream as long as you like. Sleep in. Yeah, really. Okay, so it's a tall learning curve to really own this forgiveness of Course in Miracles. Pretty quick to a sharp mind, you know, if you got a good handle on the language and you read a few things in here and you come to these meetings, you could probably say what it is. But to live in that freedom, to live with that tool as the quick switch to turn off suffering, is a bit of a curve. Now, in the world, everything here given to the Holy Spirit becomes an opportunity to learn the truth, to go toward the truth, to turn toward the light. Likewise, everything here, every moment, every second, every thought, without the Holy Spirit, you will use, there's no neutral, the unholy spirit. And then you'll go into the dark and get darker. You'll find more hate, more fear, more mortality, more ego. So it's only up or down, right? One way to look at it. Real, real, real simple. Okay? In this idea of forgiveness, when you're bound by the world, hatred is from first. It speaks loud, you feel it, you've got maybe, if you were in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany, a number to look at every day tattooed onto your arm, reminding you of where you grew up till 10 years old in the case of this one woman we're talking about in a moment. She made it to 10 or 11, I think. She had a twin sister. The Nazis grabbed her. Two of them killed their family right there. Went to the Getchu smoke chambers, the whole bit, and kept the little girls for being twins. And they took one twin and they said, you shall get nothing special. The other twin, you're going to get these drugs. We're trying to do something somehow, some modify the body some way, some experimental drug. So this woman's sister underwent the treatments of the drugs, and she did not. They got about 10 or 11 years old, true story now, 10 or 11 years old, and the four Allied forces came in, and they shut down the gas chambers in the concentration camp and pulled these girls out, along with a couple hundred others. This woman was, and her sister, taken to the United States, and that's where they found their home, and lived for a while. I think maybe a good while. But then the sister, the things that were injected into her caught up with her, and the Western medicine, we could figure out what it was, and she died. The sister died. Meanwhile, the surviving sister, she's a Holocaust survivor. She's got a Holocaust museum going. She's deep into this, of course, you know. She gives speeches. She's a Holocaust survivor, big time. She's got the number tattooed right here. She's not, of course, a miracle student. But nonetheless, she learns through, and the story is told here, by brute force. She's so tired of hating the Nazis. Now, as they've been dead and gone, it's war is over, her sister is dead, you know, it's over, and yet she's carrying this burden every day, this hatred in her heart every day. She meets one of the Nazis, the Dr. Mengele, that's the title of this movie that I have. It's Dr. Mengele. And he's the guy that did the injections, experiment, wrote them down, said fast, dutifully. And he would know. If she could get to him, maybe he could say what drug. And she had tried this while her sister was alive. Can you save my sister? And she didn't like the idea of meeting one of these Nazis, but she found one. She gets there to his house, and he's an 89-year-old, barely can stand. And when she tells her story and shows the number tattooed on her arm, he breaks into tears. And she sees he's just an old man. He was just a doctor. Oh. He apologized profusely, and they're speaking in German, and suddenly she realizes that he's just another human being. It breaks her a little bit, and her hatred now doesn't have the same edge. Well, long story short, she decides, not because he's any angel, and not because the Nazis didn't do all the horrible things they did, but she didn't want to carry this burden anymore. And she decides no longer. She decides just for herself to forgive. Not Course in Miracles forgiveness, okay? That's why I gave you this whole pronouncement here. Not a Course in Miracles forgiveness. But the same effort all of us have to make in order to make the world take second fiddle back seat. I don't want to suffer. There must be a better way. That's where it starts. Otherwise, there's a lot of beautiful words and a lot of good structure and a lot of other self-help and spiritual programs too. But you've got to be tired enough of the pain, see? And all of us are, I'm sure. Nobody's here who isn't made this choice. This woman in this movie, and I have two copies. Anybody wants to see it? It is a... Yeah, half of you have already seen it. I pass it out every year or two. And we'll bring it back in. We'll pass it around again. It's a really strong story of that decision. I'm not going to... You can suffer if you really need to. I got a Holocaust museum. Believe me. I know about these Nazi things. Because they told her, they said, forgiveness, you want... She started giving speeches on forgiveness now. You can't forgive the Nazis. They did. And she would get barraged. Hate mail, letters, etc., of course. But she says, that's not... I'm not... You guys don't get it. You see, she was... doing the derivation of Course in Miracles, forgiveness, of the groundwork for release. Release the Nazis? No. Release herself. Mm-hmm. That's the forgiveness we do here. To release your own thinking. So I thought the movie was really good.
There's a... Corrie Ten Boom is an author that was... in a similar situation, and her writing is all about being in the concentration camps and how she had to practice forgiveness, and it was she just couldn't feel that hatred in herself. It was killing her. It would just drive her nuts, and she would practice peace and acceptance and forgiveness, and her writing is all about that.
And what was her name again?
Corrie Ten Boom.
Corrie Ten Boom.
Didn't she shelter Jews?
Is that possibly Ten Baum?
Yeah, Ten Baum.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Cool. All right, we'll do that one. And you'll see, and what I like about the movie so much for Course in Miracles students is, you know, everything I just described. Plus, you get to decide what kind of forgiveness is this really, and is it good enough for you? Would this forgiveness be good enough for you now that you've read some of this book? Really good little exercise there.
It also doesn't end well, if you recall, because then the cycle sort of starts over. She's in Israel and there's the Palestinian conflict.
Yep.
And she's now sort of a little bit more on the other side of it, and she can't forgive, and she says it's different now because the conflict is still happening.
See, isn't that perfect?
So it's kind of frustrating. It's like you touched it and then you like let it go.
Good. That's exactly why I want people to see it, just so they can witness that and decide for themselves. Mm-hmm. If you could sit her down and have her talk to you about forgiveness, what would you say back? And it's really interesting that way. Okay. So, let's have kind of a quick meditation. This section we're talking about... Welcome to A Course in Miracles, by the way. If there's going to be any change at all, if there's any change at all that is upon you, if this book maybe reminds you that there's a better way, that you'd like to maybe be less fearful or not fearful at all, or that attack is not justified in any form, and you hear that, but you feel a little wrench in your gut because it's kind of a common tool, but it says, you know, that's a poison, that when you attack, you drink that poison first. Who knows what it happens? Does the other person? A lot of times, not as much as you wish, but you get it. That would be a change, just for example. Or the fear. Or the guilt, another one we've talked about big time. Were you to let go of guilt, as this book would have you do, for your own freedom, for your own liberation, you'd have to see through this artifice of guilt. So easy would require some changes. So, in order for you to make any change,
gut, in your bones, that you would make a change so that you're not haunted by the old way still appearing true. I mean, change is what I'm talking about here. For you to make a change, a clean change, is an essence of enlightenment, isn't it? You're no longer addicted to the old. You don't think the old way, the small way. You no longer think the small way. Now you think the big way. You're more inclusive. You're more loving. Compared to what? Well, the way I was before. I was blind, but now I see. I was heavy, but now I'm light. I love the word enlightenment for that very reason. Make no mistake. Some type of change has occurred. For you to make a change, a real change now, of a lasting type, that you becomes you. It becomes the new normal. It becomes the new true. That kind of change. You have to move, right? You will not move from the old way. You will continue to practice everything that you already believe you know, or that was told to you, or that worked before, or that you tried, but you will continue the old way unless you are powered by faith. Unless you're powered by faith, it's faith that goes ahead of you when you make a change. Think of it this way. You're about to cross a creek, and there's a couple of stones that you could step on the top of, see, and you could get it without getting your feet wet, right? Everybody done this? Do you just go with your eyes closed? I don't think so. Of course not. Do you stop and maybe decide if your legs are long enough to make it between the stones right in the middle? I can do it. Right? There's a shift is occurring in you. You stop. The first thing you did was stop. That's not go, that's stop. A change had to occur in you as you saw the stones you would step on. First this, then that, not that, then that, then that. So make sure you skip that little one. It looks not big enough to carry your weight, so don't bother. There's one right behind it that is. You believe that you could cross the stream on these stones, but you're not going yet. Right? The change hasn't happened yet. You're still standing there. On the old side. What happens? Well, you look at those stones, right? I want you to, everybody be there. And I want you to think about faith a little bit, okay? Just for a couple of minutes. Think about this change so that you go across the stones. All right. Ring. My bell's over there behind Brian. Here you are, Babbling Water. A set of stones ahead of you. You're going to cross. Can you do it? Are you going to do it? Which stones? You've got the belief. There's even footprints on the stones. Somebody went before you. It can be done. Do you feel the change? Feel the invitation that belief brings. It's only an invitation. But it's a good one. Good one. You like it. You see a plan. You see what stones you would take. happens between seeing your path and actually leaning forward onto the first stone with enough momentum to rock your body onto the second. Maybe too much to even stop. What happened? What happened? Where did it come from? This commitment. What did it cost? It wasn't free. It wasn't there already. I mean, you were standing back there with your arms folded looking at the stones before. What did it cost? Now that you're on your way, leaning from one stone to the other, making sure it's enough momentum to make that span in the middle. What's happening to you? And once you're committed and moving, you're underway. I mean, it's silly to think about stopping, right? That defeats. And going back, you got to make that big span in the middle. And you do. A few more stops, a few more hops, a few more touches. You're almost there. Let your body do its thing. Let your feet find their stones and push. Nice and even. Looking good. Looking good. Home free. A few more stones. You're going to make it for sure. The hard part's over. And you land on the other shore. What happened? And you go back across the water in the path that you've taken, and you see others who have just shown up, and they're arms folded, and they're looking, and their fingers are pointing, and they're talking to each other. Now what happened? What happened to you now that you've come across it? What's different? Change occurred, didn't it? What happened? What is this faith? It's not knowing, right? When you have faith, you don't know. When you have belief, you don't know for sure.
Increased trust. Increase of trust.
There's an increase of trust. Mm-hmm. When you trust, when trust is called for, do you already know?
No.
No, you don't know. You don't need trust when you know. The trust part is past. It's done. You're not that person. You're not that mind that doesn't know. It needs trust so that it can have faith to actually take the risk and the involvement and the commitment and go.
It also requires this, a suspension of judgment.
Nice. Wow. What is the cost? The cost is that judgment. The debilitating worry. What?
That, if there's freedom in that.
A cost you're willing to pay? Mm-hmm. This type of judgment is debilitating. Mm-hmm. It's the thing holding you at the shore, looking at the stones, maybe looking upstream a little bit. Maybe there's an easier path. Maybe this is harder than it needs to be. Should we just go someplace else and read another book? Should we go listen to another and try another way? Should we try again to shift things over and get a new relationship? Should we do that instead? It can be debilitating. It can be delaying. Indeed. But you're leaning toward that first stone. What happened now? This is faith. This commitment. voluntary change. Did not come from the outside. Yeah. Anybody want to say something about faith before we jump in? Hi, Nick. Okay, page 400. That's a long time coming.
Wow. That's a movement.
I know, I mean, it's a big deal there. A whole new set of hundreds. Paragraph 8. Okay, now what we're talking about here is the idea of separation. You see the previous paragraph, paragraph 7, top of the page. The result of an idea is never separate from its source. The idea of separation produced the body and remains the idea of this idea of separation and connected to it, what it made, the body, making it sick, making the body sick because the mind's identification with this new idea of separation. Now that was a choice to go into the dark using the unholy spirit. It's really still a spirit. It's still a spirit. The ego is like, it's kind of like a spirit, see? Unholy spirit. Okay? So, you think you're protecting the body by hiding this connection. For this concealment of the connection of the idea of separation, making the body, and sickness, concealment seems to keep your identification safe from the would-be attack of truth. Indeed. It seems like an attack because we're truth to be present. Just like when we talk about light and dark, okay? To maintain the dark, if you want to keep it really dark in the room, don't let the light in and don't throw the light switch. If you do throw the light switch, you attack the dark. Seemingly, you would destroy the dark. It's just not true, though. The dark was neither created nor destroyed. Ego, darkness, even fear. These are imagined things. And it turns out, it goes on from there. The Course says this world, time, space, your own very body is right there in with the dreams you had 3 years ago. Tuesday night, 3 a.m. Between 3 and 3:15 a.m. you had a dream. It's that remotely, to this author, not real. Certainly not real now. Kind of a tall order. But the attack of truth would be certain, like the attack of light, like switch the light bulb or open the door and the light comes into the room, it seems to attack the dark. So if the dark is held precious by you, you will not turn on the light. Pretty fair?
Yes. That's tough.
It's tough.
It's tough in dealing with recognizing in relationships when witnessing that in another.
Yes.
And the desire to be in the light and
yes.
The struggle to recognize that
yes.
The darkness is there and the yes. Other person's experience is yeah. Not to let the light in.
Well, before you get to the other person,
right,
you have to recognize how much the darkness you like.
Yeah.
I was just going to say the word familiar.
Thank you.
You become familiar with it, so yeah. It's comforting in a sort of a way.
Yes.
Oh, that's a really great way to say it.
It's comforting, It's expected. It's linear.
Predictable.
Predictable.
It's what we know.
What?
It's what we know.
It's what we know.
So we have problems getting out of the spaces we know and recognize.
Yes. This is innocent as it is true. That's the poison. It's what we know. And it's what we believe in. And the Course in Miracles says, it says, you will trust what you think will keep you safe. And what we know, we think, is what makes us sane and happy and predictable. Yes. When you're standing on that shore before you cross the creek, you know about that sand and you know you can stand there safely for as long as you want. It's what you know. You know you can stay on the shore. If you're going to go across those stones, pop, 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 you're going to have to let go of what you know. A critical change is going to occur for you to do that. And nobody else can do it for you. Do you notice that? Nobody else can take those steps for you. It's very personal, what we're talking about. With the Course in Miracles, the change is always very personal. It's always very internal. And it's never with behavior.
Yeah.
And it's never with somebody else.
Right.
Not changing somebody else. Turn to Peter Finger here, please. And flip to page 660. Time for a reminder of, you know, some of the metaphysics of this change that occurs.
You never go to the 660s. This is like the end of the book.
Yeah, end of the book.
I love it.
Yeah, is it right before the lessons? It's like, well,
We have been here.
He's like, let me remind you, before you go to the workbook, let me remind you some of the cost of A Course in Miracles to see if you're really up for it. A lot of people will read something like this and put this, you know what? What the hell is this? Where is this? Yeah, but if you've come this far reading the text and there aren't some tears in your eyes multiple times, you know, if you've had that experience, this is very easy to read and quite welcome. David, would you read for us paragraph 17 all the way through?
Paragraph 17, 660.
Yep.
17.
Yep. Top of the page. The world can teach.
The world can teach no images of you unless you want to learn them. There will come a time when images have all gone by and you will see you know not what you are. It is to this unsealed and open mind that truth returns, unhindered and unbound.
Is anybody thinking about enlightenment? As he reads that last sentence, a change of identity. Would you please start over? And I want you to be thinking about the essential change of identity where you would awaken from being this poor, miserable, suffering, about to die within another 20 or 30,000 days. Everybody in this room will be dead. I'll just break that to you gently. I've done the math. You will be dead in 20 or 30,000 days.
The world can teach no images of you unless you want to learn. There will be a time when images have all gone by and you will see you know not what they are.
What you are. There will come a time when images have all gone by. All of them. All the images. It's a perception and a belief and an identity. Images, right? And you will see you know not what you are. Can you say emptiness? They may study some Buddhism. You will see you know not what you are. emptiness. All right, let's continue.
It is to this unsealed and open mind that truth returns, unhindered and unbound.
Okay. Only into an empty teacup can you put the tea. Simple, but required. And way up in the beginning of the book, Miracle Principle 7, I think, miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. You empty the cup, and then you can fill it. Continue, please.
Where concepts of the self have been laid by, is truth revealed exactly as it is. When every concept has been raised to doubt and question and been recognized as made on no assumptions that would stand the light, then is the truth left free to enter in its sanctuary, clean and free of guilt.
Okay, and what's a concept? Think about that. Where do concepts come in your reality and the way your mind operates?
Beliefs and ideas.
Uh-huh, that's right. They and come thoughts. Out of ideas before the beliefs even. You got this idea, you conceptualize. They're thoughts that you're following. You're following a thought. It becomes a concept that you've... I'm going to cross the creek. Which creek? This one here on the map. It'll take me about I'll be there in an hour and then I'll just cross. This concept, right? You're not there yet. You haven't got the belief yet. You're not even sure if you really love the idea. Certainly you're not ready for faith to actually walk across the stones. You haven't seen them. Mm-hmm. But this concept is there. So there's a concept that says you are a body. You are completely reliant on all the things that you know. Money, nutrition, where you live, who you live with, who loves you, who doesn't love you, on and on and on. There's a whole bunch of concepts that build your idea of safety. And in particular, one that bites pretty deeply is the whole idea of health.
Health?
Health. Mm-hmm. Health. I think you got the wealth thing. Everybody here ever bought a lottery ticket? Okay, so you probably followed that concept. You know the wealth. And you probably tried to do some self-improvement, did some schooling, read some books. So you've probably worked on the wisdom aspect of your life. You just be a little smarter, you won't make the dumb mistakes. And then that's good. It's good. What about the gym membership? Is it going unused? Healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Time.
What?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. We just got to bust the ego and all the little blocks that it puts up. But one of them is these whole beliefs that you already know what will make you happy. That you know of these things I speak. Well, that's your paid, guaranteed happiness. This is a spiritual meeting. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. And there is another way. There is a happiness that you get to keep. Just like there is this crossing of the river. That faith, it comes from the inside. It comes from a little personal commitment. But so does hate and fear and attack. So does breaking off relationships or damning people. That is a faith also that you've acted on. The concept from which either crossing the river or running back to the car, that concept is the beginning. It's just, it has nothing though, but an idea. So please continue.
There is no statement that the world is more afraid of to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or on myself. Yet, in this learning is salvation born. And what you will tell...
What you are.
What you are will tell you of itself.
That's a change. Okay, let me read those italics for you. In their opposite. I know exactly what I am. And therefore, I know what I'm doing, I know where I am, and I know how to look upon the world, and I know how to look on myself. Thank you very much. Good for you. The problem is what you know is not true. John Paul told us, he says, it's hard to let go of what you know. What you've been trusting. Exactly the point why it's good to have a guide, a trusted guide. And it's good to have things written out. Steps you should take, written out. Very helpful. Even if they are written out maybe like every day. What should I do tomorrow and tomorrow and the day after? Am I asking too much? That there might be a plan written out to correct and heal my mind so I can get away from the small thinking of worry and ego and attack and defending all the time. Is there a better way? Is there someplace I can go where I can just follow the steps painted for me from a trusted source that would end in my eventual peace that I could own and keep? Does anybody know where I can find that? Anybody, please? Somebody volunteer?
Yeah.
Where? In this book?
Well.
You mean part two, the workbook with 365 lessons? Each one of them with a specific instruction, if you wish, what to do on each hour? And then if times gets tough, what little phrase you might remind yourself of to bring you back to sanity, to bring you back to peace, to bring you back to self-empowerment and out of victimhood? 365 of them that follow 670 pages of the things that we read here, giving you confidence that you are loved, you are an extension of God, you have a choice for peace, you are responsible for what you see, think, and feel, and I'll show you how. I'll show you why, says the book. And then it does with 365 left. Yes. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. So if you're ever failing on finding yourself closer to peace every day, time to do the workbook. Time to go ahead, fall in line with a personal instruction that actually comes from you. It isn't the book telling you. It's inviting you to tell you. Inviting you to tell you. The book even says, he says, you know, of these things that bring you, where you have peace in your mind, he says, I'll do them for you in the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's part of your own mind, see? So it's kind of a trick. You're still, you do it. You are the teacher. But that's the one you can keep, see? When you choose to cross those stones, you're free to do it. And it's empowered, isn't it? It's confidence building. Same with A Course in Miracles, as you go across the 365 stones towards your own personal awakening.
And then do it again.
And then do it again, because it's way the next level. Then the next time when you decide, when you decide that you would like to be more peaceful, that's when. Okay, let's read the next paragraph, which is, Miley, you ready to read? It follows this call right here, which says, look, the ego does not want to hear this. It's, I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world, or how to look upon myself. Spooky. Ego doesn't want to hear it. Miley, recognizing the spirit.
You see the flesh or recognize the spirit. There is no compromise between the two. If one is real, the other must be false. For what is real denies its opposite. There is no choice in vision but this one. What you decide in this determines all you see and think is real and hold as true. On this one choice does all your world depend. For here you have established what you are, as flesh or spirit, in your own belief. If you choose flesh, you never will escape the body as your own reality, for you have chosen that you want it so. But choose the spirit, and all heaven bends to touch your eyes and bless your holy sight, that you may see the world of flesh no more, except to heal and comfort and to bless.
Thank you, Miley. Beautiful. The word choose was in there several times.
Well, the whole thing is about a choice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The whole thing is about a choice. You choose. Just like whether or not when you're going to go hop across those stones.
But it's like what you said in the first paragraph before when you started and said this deciding that the body's not real is a really difficult thing.
It's a really difficult thing.
Very difficult.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
What kind of challenge are we talking about here? You look.
I get the choice between body and spirit.
Okay.
But that's to choose whether you're going to focus on the body or focus on spirit.
Yeah.
Where you're going. That's one thing.
Yeah.
To say that the body's not real is a whole nother.
It's a whole nother thing. And they're not connected.
Those thoughts aren't connected.
Right.
That's how difficult this is. What?
The body's not real.
If the body's not real and spirit is,
it's an image.
Then there's no bridge between them. There's no actual
spirit
connection.
Inside the body.
Huh?
Spirit exists inside the false body.
There's no connection between truth and illusion at all. At all.
That's why behavior and things like that aren't even connected.
Right?
Yeah. And that's where...
That's how you can forgive them, see?
That's forgive...
As soon as you can see that the behaviors are not connected to the thoughts that founded them...
Right.
You can let them go. And I can let her go, too. I don't have to punish her.
Right.
Why? I forget. Less than 10 or 11 or... You're not upset for the reason you think.
Thank you, Mom. Yeah.
You're never upset for the reason you think. That helps you see that as actually something beneath that. Well, if it's true for me, it's sure true for you and the other person that was so mad. I'm not upset for the reason they think either.
And forgiving our own suffering, though.
Yes?
It's like, it's almost as though, I don't know how to say it, it's like, to accept that my suffering is not real.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different...
It's different in such a big way.
Yeah.
It's so really, really different that let's not hide from it at all, ever, in this room. That's why I tell people, when they have got a struggle in their mind, I say, keep that struggle, keep that fight, and aim it at the book. Or aim it at me, or aim it at this meeting, but don't give up what you think is in conflict with this message. Because that will be your enlightenment. That is your crucifix from which you will climb into ascension. Do not let go of your arguments. Don't pretend they're not there. Go through them. And you will find your particular miracle. Miracle is a shift in perception, right?
Right.
That miracle is built, custom built for you based on your crucifix. On the thing that you suffer on over the most. That's where your awakening is. Right behind the trouble. You know we're going to page 595. Okay? You can drop this page. I hate to say it. There's so many good things there. But go back now 165 pages of page 595.
Mm-hmm.
John Paul. Mm-hmm. Yes. Would you please read for us paragraph 12? Oh, wait a minute. It's 12, all right, but tonight I think we need to read 11 first. Yeah, 11. Paragraph 11, please.
The miracle returns the cause of fear to you who made it. But it also shows that, having no effect, it is not cause. Because the function of causation is to have effects.
Okay, for example, worry or fear. That really contracting feeling that's just drawing you down into smallness. Worry or fear is a great example. Or guilt, the guilt thoughts. They don't actually have effects. You feed them, they grow. You don't feed them, they smaller, and eventually you forget that you're even afraid. It's just busts the ego so starkly when you recognize that that's how they disappear. Mm-hmm. Please continue.
And where effects are gone, there is no cause.
Mm-hmm.
Thus is the body healed by miracles, because they show the mind made sickness and employed the body to be victim or effect of what it made.
Tall order to give the mind so much power. The mind that you know, the same mind that, you know, in grade school you learned multiplication tables, is that the mind we're talking about? Oh my God, we're going to think about this a bit. Yeah.
Okay, I had a problem here.
Good.
Well, staying with the same track, because here it's speaking about the body as though it is definitely there. Thus is the body healed by miracles, because they show, etc.
Yes.
Here it's very much addressing the body.
Addressing the body.
As a real thing.
Yes.
But we've made it ill because of our misconstructions of our mind.
Yes.
But it's there.
Yes,
and
good.
When it's here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Consciousness.
Thank you. That's what I want. Any faith you will ever have, any awakening you will ever have, any change, any realization you ever have, is going to have to deny some concepts that you already hold as true. And the body is chief among them. Mm-hmm. The body is chief among the blocks to the awareness of love's presence if you're going to capitalize love. If you don't capitalize love, the body is the way in to a special relationship where you can try to love. But you can't really love. See, you are, what you really are in identification is capital L love. And that has been denied. And it's been blocked by pursuing small L love with the body and time and space and other bodies bringing you happiness. Chief among them is the concept of body. When you're sick, you've got big time pain, it's a thief of your consciousness. Is it?
Yeah.
Everybody here been through a lot of pain?
Yeah.
Everybody. It's a freaking thief. It speaks so loudly. Do you even have a chance to be peaceful? That's why it's written the way it is. It has to work on the concepts that you believe in so deeply. They're actually your identity. Mm-hmm. When A Course in Miracles talks about healing the body, the first discussion in this book, your first time through the book, I think there's 7 to 12 levels of teaching in this book. Mm-hmm. The first time through, you can read it just like that. Your knee pain will go away, your sciatica, whatever it is. But you will quickly learn this is not what it's talking about. Mm-mm. If you can get the hope that somehow by changing your mind you can change your life, good! You're in. We like it. Even though you'd be sorely disappointed when the scar from that horrible event in your childhood didn't disappear. And I thought, well, that's sick, isn't it, Ascar? Didn't go.
Doesn't exist.
It's very key, Nicolene. It's a higher level now. You're off level one now. You're saying it doesn't exist. You're way off the ground floor. Jeez, right? Mm-hmm. But oh, is that good news when you start to reconcile the power of it doesn't exist, when that becomes welcome and not fearful. It is a higher level, okay? Most people don't get there on the first pass. They're too much pain, frankly. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just mental pain.
Emotional.
Yes, yes.
Would you say that, about the body, would you say that it exists, but it doesn't matter? I can wrap my head around it exists, but it doesn't really matter. Because
yes.
The spirit is what's really it.
Yes.
And the meat sack that I'm in just helps me walk around here and there, which is great. So I've got a scar, I've got lots of scars. Who cares? It doesn't really matter. But as long as my mind is healthy, or my spirit is healthy, that's who I truly am. But my body still exists. Yes. It just doesn't matter.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that.
Good. Absolutely. 100%. What's your name?
Sharon.
Sharon. 100%, Sharon. This is why I often say, as a sort of a bridge thought, the body is real, okay. But it's not true. Have you seen the movie Titanic?
Yeah.
Right? Beautiful movie, right? Academy Awards, the whole bit. It's a real movie, right? You saw it? I saw it? Mm-hmm. I have a copy at home in DVD. So it's a real movie. It's not true. I can put my fingers on the darn thing.
The story. It's a story. It's a narrative.
It's an image.
It's an image, yeah.
Literally. A bunch of images, one after the other.
You have to make it up. We can't even talk about it if we haven't both decided to make something up. It doesn't even exist until we say it's something.
But it's real, okay? For the purpose of this conversation, it's once we make it up, it's real because we can talk about it. Did you everybody know, everybody can put a picture in your mind the moment I say it. Everybody will have pretty much the same picture. When I say this, you all have the same picture. But it's just not true, okay? Ready? Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse, right? Little cartoon, right? Hey, a cute little guy, okay? He's a real cartoon. See, but cartoons aren't real.
Okay, but when you say... Okay, yes. But when you say Titanic, to me, the movie... Okay, it's a picture. But the event happened.
Yes.
Gee, that sucked, but it did happen.
Uh-huh.
It's history.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
History.
Oh, there's fighting words in this room.
Dicey.
Dicey. It's thin ice in this room.
This is a tricky conversation, and you do it well. I mean, how do you look at that concept? Because, you know, I'm a cartoon.
Yep.
Yeah,
we all knew that. Oh, he just... Stefan just stepped up a step.
Yeah.
Another level of the teaching when you said those words.
Because I've been wrestling, we've wrestled with this.
Yes!
And we are talking about it, again, in a way that I can appreciate and really appreciate. Because I can still feel that. It's still present. And so I'm grateful, like, for people to be able to express
this. This is why I like this analogy of image, you know, and dream. You dream, you see pictures in your mind, right? You dream in color?
Yeah.
You see stuff.
I'm in cartoons.
That's a real dream, but dreams are not real. None of them. What?
Can I? There's a part of the history of the discovery of this continent. Some ships, Spanish ships, arrived to the Yucatan, and in fact, there were fishermen there, and they couldn't see them, and they were front of them.
Big ship.
They couldn't actually see the Spanish caravelas until a shaman suddenly thought he saw an island in front of them because he didn't know about big ships. But the rest had not actually seen any of them. And they were 200 yards away.
Yeah.
Because it didn't enter into their knowledge of what is real, what exists.
The concept was not...
They couldn't actually see it.
It couldn't
they
have
didn't
the
have
concept.
Concept.
There's no concept of a ship.
And when the shaman saw it, to him it was an island. It wasn't a boat, because it was
but at least he got there. His
but he was the first one to actually see them.
But yeah. Why would he see?
Because the shamans can see.
No, or open-minded.
Not normal people can see.
Because
they're used to dealing with spirits and things that other people can't see and don't believe they exist.
I love that story.
They use him.
But it lays into what our conversation here, because you start with an idea or a concept, even if it's wrong. But that opens the mind a bit. Now you can start to observe and you start to... You can or can believe that there's something there. Now that you've opened to the concept, and the belief makes its way up. If you like the belief, then you can get up to the idea of faith and trust and actually do something with it. Before then, forget about it. Yes?
So, and maybe this is a giant sort of step back to conceptualize this further, but another person that speaks to the Course talks about how we are all one, so at some point, way back, our souls thought, I wonder what it would be like not to be all one. So there's the thought, and boom,
separation.
So now, even though everyone in this room is one, you're over there, and you look like you're over there, and everybody has their package, their history, their story, and it's all of this. The purpose is to remember where we came from.
There's one way to do that. Remember I told you that the illusion and truth are not connected?
Right.
What do they have in common?
You. They're equally powerful.
They both happen in the mind.
They happen
in the same mind.
They're both thoughts.
How many minds are there in Course in Miracles?
There's one.
One.
So we have a little... reconciling to do.
So there's just for like a whiff of an explanation that this is like the playground and we all created these feet and fingers and everything and experiences and tears and frustrations and stories all divinely all sort of self-created too, including our own egos and everything. I'm trying to kind of umbrella it a little bit, I suppose, but to make sense of it, and I grapple with it.
And this is important as she goes through this. How many selves are there? With a capital S.
One.
There's one. One child of God. Which is invested in many. The whole concept of many.
The brotherhood, the brother and sister.
And that's why I personally struggle.
Yeah.
How can unity...
Yes, yes.
...create a second voice?
Yes. Right?
That is the
yeah.
How can you...
No, yeah. Perfect question.
Because we have the
thought. I want everybody to repeat what he just
thought
asked.
Thought is separation itself. If there's...
Stop right there. You said some big words. Let's just work with them, okay? He said, how can unity... Then what did he say?
Create.
Voice. And then what did he say?
Another voice.
A second voice. That was what you said, right? Hmm. What, of course, do miracles say about unity creating a second voice? Anybody?
I can pretend to be someone else and then answer my own questions.
Yes. Yes. Does that make a second person?
No, but it sounds like it.
It sounds like it.
Anyways.
What, of course, do miracles say, Brian, about unity creating a second voice?
It's a choice to be separate.
Yeah.
Well,
we're all on the circle.
But it's not just...
Let me back it up. What's unity mean?
Together, one.
One. Okay? In Buddhism, I love this, they say a knife, as sharp as it would possibly be, cannot cut itself.
Right.
You get it?
No,
that's simple.
Sorry.
Unity, the knife, as sharp as it is, it can't cut itself, can it?
The knife itself cannot cut the knife.
Yes, two knives, okay, it doesn't ever
cut itself.
It doesn't cut itself. It just, relax now, the knife's not going to cut itself. We don't have to talk about it anymore. That's the simplicity of unity. One. Mm-hmm. The question was, how can unity, oneness, And then he used an interesting word, which is really required for his honest, deep question. Create. Now this book uses that word very, very carefully.
Yes.
It's an instruction. It's part of the teaching. It uses the word create very carefully. It uses the word make also very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
You make a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
You create an act of love.
Yes.
Creations are true. Creations are divine. Creations are forever. They're also invisible, but we'll talk about that another night.
You can't do what he said, because it's not true.
Thank you. Unity, if it's really unity, does not create a second.
Huh.
Second, because that would break the idea of unity. And a second voice. Mm-hmm. As if the second voice now, that was, mark carefully now, came from the one and it became a second that now offers something new back to the one. In other words, cause and effect mm-hmm. became separated. He said unity created it, right? So therefore it's an extension, right? Creation is an extension.
Mm-hmm.
Came out of unity. So for that thing over there to now come back to unity as something different.
Yes, it is.
It's a complete dream of impossibility.
But even though to say it's a dream,
yes,
is real to you.
Yes, so the dream is real.
The dream is real to the second voice.
Mickey Mouse is real, I swear to you. We all have the same picture.
The rabbit holes are real.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
The rabbit holes, yeah.
And to this point, it's core. I mean, this is A Course in Miracles. Miracles don't exist in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
They only exist here in the second voice. Separate.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Miracles are not holy. They only deal with illusions.
And so to your question, it's the fundamental question. Here's over 1,000 pages dedicated to help us let go of what we made, let go of the illusion.
Yes.
What we made, not created. You cannot let go of something you created. Why? Because it's true in this book. Now, I'm just using the words now. Mm-hmm. It's a book prescribed. You make a little division in your head now. There is truth and there's not truth.
And I'm not really a cartoon.
Correct.
But in the language of it, in that space,
everything you know about yourself right now is a cartoon.
Yeah.
So that's what we just read. The ego hates to say, I don't know what I am, where I am, what I'm doing, what this is for. Page 298 says, do not use your own past learning as a light to guide you when?
Now.
Now. Be much more careful with the now from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you know about yourself is a cartoon.
Isn't there a phrase in this book? You don't have trouble seeing that something else is an idea, but you have trouble seeing that you are
yes.
an idea.
Yes. Yes.
Do you know where that is?
Yes.
Just
in chapter 15.
You don't have to read it. Just
is it? Yeah, it's in chapter 15.
I mean, isn't that illumination? The moment you realize that you're just an idea.
Yes.
Your ego. Poof.
It may be your ticket home.
I mean, it's like whoa.
That's why I said when this man said it's a cartoon.
You can intellectually think about it, but really.
It's not.
Own it.
Own it?
Experience.
It's like, you boom.
Could,
it's
that could,
whoa.
You could derive.
It's an experience.
You could derive the whole path back to oneness and unity
with
that thought. That's why I said he took a step up when he said that. Yeah. What's Miracle Principle 17?
Miracles transcend the body.
Yes.
They are sudden shifts into invisibility, away from the bodily level. That is why they heal.
Full statement. Read it again, please.
Miracles transcend the body. They are sudden shifts into invisibility, away from the bodily level. That is why
they heal. On page 4, John Paul.
Yeah, page 4 in the beginning. Very beginning. Right there. 17.
The sudden shifts into invisibility from visibility, right? In this case, concept of the body and your pain is all very visible and trackable and traceable and, you know, something to worry about. That dot on your skin that's getting bigger with ragged edges in a hurry. That one, you know what I'm talking about. A miracle is a sudden shift into invisibility. You'll hear me say it 1,000 more times this year alone. The truth is invisible. This is a change that you will have to make for your own freedom. You have to start looking for the truth in the invisible and no longer in the visible. If you can see it, if you can hear it, if you can touch it, it's on the level of the dream. If you can draw Mickey Mouse, you're not making him any more true. He's made up. He doesn't actually have a closet full of clothing with those little shorts and that.
Shorts and big gloves.
Nobody does his laundry. Nobody's ever done Mickey Mouse's laundry in the big gloves.
He's never. He's played in water, but not real water.
He doesn't have a drawer full of gloves.
Giant gloves.
And they're white, and they never get dirty.
What about that?
I don't know that. Why can't he have a drawer with some gloves?
Somebody go draw the drawer. He's got a wife. I'm getting uncomfortable. The poor Mickey doesn't have a drawer full of gloves.
He's got a wife. He's got me.
Well, they're not married yet.
You know. Nobody's ever checked his pulse. We're not even sure he's alive. He may not be healthy. Have you checked his cholesterol? Poor kid. Nobody's ever.
He's really funny.
That's great.
Okay. So, back to page 595, and we're going to bust this whole thing wide open on what you're doing here, what you shall be doing with your mind if you come back, what you shall be doing with your own faith to go up instead of down. All that's in this paragraph. Paragraph. Did you finish, John Paul?
No, you didn't.
Please continue then. I get so excited about the next one. But they're not, this one's not the unis, what he's reading.
Yet half the lesson will not teach the whole.
Oh, man, full stop! Guess what? Fine print!
Half the lesson.
This is why these concepts, even the concept of like, I am an idea. That's big, man. That could go all the way. That's like a Buddhism. I was so excited about Buddhism and the logic and the way it was written and the beauty and the, man, this is a better way to live. And then it stopped dead. I hit a ceiling with Buddhism. I just, boom, nowhere else to go. Mm-hmm. Because there's no spirit. There's no God. There's no whole beyond this peace, this discussion of Buddha nature.
Void.
Yeah, I mean, it's really beautiful. I absolutely love it. And this book loves Buddhism too. Mm-hmm. As this book says many times, and it says it get here in different words, readiness, readiness, readiness is good. Readiness is way good. Readiness is not mastery. Mm-hmm. Readiness is not mastery. It says it 3 times. Oh, it's like sobering dose. And in Manual for Teachers, it has you wander through this wonderful readiness that you have to accept the truth. Everybody, all good? Everybody here want the truth? Everybody?
Yeah.
Good. Me too.
Maybe. You,
it's okay?
Maybe.
Maybe? Honest. One honest man among us.
Yeah, because you've got to walk through hell to get to the truth.
Yeah. One honest man among us.
If you have to tell me the truth, I want to be sitting on a toilet. Yeah. My trousers up. Yeah. For sure.
Good, good.
Scary one.
Good. So yeah, true. Yeah, yeah. In fact, the cost of truth is much more than most of us are willing to pay.
Yeah.
Manual for Teachers is a wonderful section about this.
What is the cost of truth?
Everything you now know. Other than that, it's free.
That's too much.
I thought so. So the Manual for Teachers unpacks that a little bit, and it talks about, you know, sorting out, where once you, the idea of truth and the power of truth alights in your mind that you have access to it, now you need to take a personal inventory and look at the things in your life, in your mind, the concept you're holding, and do a sorting out. Well, this concept is helpful. Maybe, you know, it's like Course in Miracles. You know, it's kind of leading me to more peace. I like it. And this other concept, you know, maybe doing your favorite drug or something, it's just not helpful anymore. So there's a sorting out that occurs. It's a difficult passage. It can take years.
And the recognition of suffering and its real definition of it.
Yes. Yes. Sorting the valuable from the valueless. So some of these things that are seen as very, very valuable, like maybe your quote loved one, which you really said you hate to your best friend just yesterday. But they are your chip, right? That one maybe we should look at again. Or your drug. Or some of dozens of other things. Hard to let go because it's so close to you. Familiar. So familiar. How familiar? I identify with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how familiar. Deep. Well, guess what? In order for you to let go of that, you're going to need a miracle. Mm-hmm. That's what miracles are for. You're so tied into it. You're so deep into it. In order for you to release something so close to what you think you are, you're going to need a miracle, which is what? A sudden shift into invisibility from dead drunk on visible, dead drunk on a particular specific thing.
Oh, now, it's so easy to get there.
She can get there.
Insidious.
No. Half steps avail us nothing. You go to step on that stone we talked about. Try taking like half the step.
Half the phone number.
Half the phone number? What good is just the area code? Well, I got some. I got you the area code. What are you arguing about? Aren't you grateful? I got something. It's not helping. Readiness is not mastery. What you need is a miracle so you can fully release, okay? This is why it's A Course in Miracles. The miracle is a very specific tool that allows you to take up faith and step on that stone with the amount of speed that you know you need to get all the way to it. Now, please continue.
The miracle is useless if you learn...
Go ahead.
The miracle is useless if you learn but that the body can be healed. For this is not the lesson it was sent to teach. The lesson is the mind was sick that throughout
that thought
thought the body could be sick. Projecting out its guilt caused nothing and had no effect.
Okay, so what it's doing in that particular sentence, which you could really fight about, you say, who wrote that crap? It makes the body sound real, and then it says that it wasn't right. What? Just like Miley pointed out. However, John Paul, please read it one more time, that last sentence. The lesson is?
The lesson is the mind was sick that thought the body could be sick. Projecting out its guilt caused nothing and had no effects.
Now I read that, and as confusing as it is, it touches me somewhere. It's written with authority, like the rest of this whole frickin' book. And I'm listening very, very carefully. It's supported over and over again. As you go up the staircase in your enlightenment, you will have to reach your foot out, lean forward onto the next step. You haven't even touched it yet. You're losing the step you were standing on before as you go for the new step. And then you have to press. Change is required. It turns out very, very, very little effort on your part. You're actually spending more effort staying on the old step.
It's so true.
Yes.
Right?
Why? Oh my
Why?
God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so much energy, and mm-hmm. it's almost so captivating, and then you go just like, oh.
I keep getting sort of like this physical vibe of like, if you had done a project for work that just took everything, you're burning the minute out of the oil, you stay up till 2 o'clock, you know, and you do this thing that's everything, project runway, it's everything you got. Mm. And you work your butt off and you put everything, time stops and that creative flow is, and you're in it and you're in it and you're in it. And then someone says, oh, wrong project.
It's been defunded.
Yeah, sorry. Actually, no, what I meant to ask you to do was something else. All that work, whoosh, gone.
Yeah.
Just that inventory we did at New Leaf last night, actually, we didn't need to count everything.
Yeah.
You know, and you're cross-eyed, you know.
Yeah, all that investment.
Then it goes back to that thing.
And then it's like,
reset.
Disconnect all of it. Everything that was everything for a minute there.
Huge investment.
Now, time and energy and effort gone. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
That's right.
I'm talking about a work example here.
Yeah, that's right.
Out there for fun, like,
yep.
Didn't need to count everything in the store.
But we're that close to you, right? Because like Andy would say, we have faith. And not one of us hasn't experienced a time where we believed in something, had faith in something, and then went for it. But until we could decide that we're going to go for it, none of us would ever ride a bike.
You could stand on that shore without crossing that stream for a long time and even go back to the car and just, it's too far, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Lifetimes, years and years can be spent without choosing your own freedom.
Yeah.
And yet we're one thought away?
We're one thought away. It turns out that this whole book is based on this one thought.
Yeah.
And that it's not a doing at all.
You don't have to know
Page
anything.
Page 2 of the workbook.
Yum.
You
just
it turns out that's true.
There can't be a change where there was never that concept.
Nice. Thank you.
So it all disappears. Yeah?
There can't be a change among nothing. Where there was never actually a reality. You can't change something that doesn't exist.
It's like those ships.
This is the basis of what a miracle does. It's you're opening your mind to what he just said. So you just took a step up, if that's getting you, because you can't actually make a change to something that is not real.
But if it's not real.
Yes.
I mean, that's the miracle, is getting to that point where you know it's not real.
That's the miracle. That is the miracle.
Yeah. Then.
But then.
How do you take that miracle?
Yes, yes.
And you get up at the same time every morning.
Yes.
You brush your teeth, you comb your hair, you get dressed,
yes.
You get in your car, you go to work, you deal with all the people and all
yes.
the things that you deal with all day long.
That's right.
And it's. How do you maintain that miracle?
This is an honest question.
Yeah, it is.
This is an honest question. You're living it. This is the real deal. You've got the idea that you don't have to suffer with this pain.
That's right.
But you know what? I'm still suffering, but I don't have to. And I know my mind is powerful enough to let me be free. I've even tasted it from time to time. What do you need at that point? What do you need after the miracle has dawned on you? What you need is forgiveness.
Yes.
Not the forgiveness of the world, because that's an attack and actually makes the problem real.
So you're just forgiving you.
You're forgiving your own thoughts.
Over and over. Your perception.
Yes.
My perception.
Yes.
My experience.
Yes.
Forgiving in an innocence, not as in you did something wrong.
Oh, that's
as it never happened.
Back to John Paul now. You're forgiving nothing.
People in the world.
You're forgiving nothing. That you've been thinking about with an addiction.
Because it's not real?
Because it's not real. It's made up moment by moment.
Okay.
If you stop thinking, it's not there. I got you right there, right?
Got you, fine, okay.
All right? You give it all the meaning it has. She didn't do it. You did.
Got it.
So you're busted. That is only there when you... Therefore, the nothingness shows up. In other words, reality leaks.
Mm-hmm.
It spills all over the floor and just evaporates with these very simple thoughts. This is what a miracle does. It's a sudden shift into invisibility. What was so visible, or what was so real, the body even, or it was so damn sure it existed, and that it caused me to do something. I was so sure. The miracle is the shift away from that certainty into the invisibility where your heart is actually opened. You go up. There's more light in your life for making a shift away from the darkness, and that is your clue that you're going toward truth. Julie.
I just have an example of this, and...
Let me finish with Kim for a second. Hold on your example, please. Once you've tasted the reality of the invisibility, of letting something go that's not as bad as you always thought, in fact, it doesn't have any power unless I think about that kind of miracles occur. Now you need forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is a vigilance. Mm-hmm. For the miracle. Forgiveness is the willingness, the little willingness to now let that truth of the miracle be first, even though it's very, very quiet and very subtle. The truth is very quiet. The truth is actually invisible.
But they don't self do nothing.
The habits are very loud. The pain and the suffering in this world is very loud and very insistent. Until you start to understand the power of your mind, and this is the way to do it, works for me, this passage of miracle first, don't try to forgive without a miracle, you're just lying to yourself. If you still think that you are a body, and this is the precious altar of spirit, that's what you think, you're going to stay in flesh, like we just read.
Mm-hmm.
On page 660, you choose flesh, you choose spirit, and sorry, but that's the whole continuum, it's one or the other. It's kind of black or white. If you choose flesh, you will stay with flesh. Why? Because you, when you choose, are the child of God choosing flesh. Right. You're drawing cartoons all day long. Guess what you're going to see all day? Okay. Cartoons, thank you.
You're the chooser.
You are the chooser. Yep, for now. So, Kim, so it's a vigilance now. Hold that miracle, and then you will be reminded, and freed with each thing that pops in front of your face of which you have released.
And it can be done. You said how. It can be done.
John Paul, tell me why it can be done.
What? What are we talking about now?
Kim could say it again, but she's saying, okay, I get this, but every day I get up and I go through my day, and it,
With a smile?
Does she have to rehearse?
Can be done with a smile.
Can be done with a smile. Does she have to rehearse the pain and suffering that she now knows is not real?
That's, I think the question I have might have to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
How many things that you was thought were you are not you anymore from all your life?
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
That you thought, oh, this is my identity when you were 6, when you were 10, when you were 15, when you were 20, when you were 30. But now, they're not part of your identity.
And
so
gone.
What happened there?
Yep.
If that was your identity... Yep. How come they've disappeared and you are still here?
Mm-hmm.
That's the essence of illusions.
Because we're on a path, and the path changes. And we grow, and we change, and we're guided, and we're nudged, and we're hit over the head with a baseball bat, and we, you know.
So we pick up other things that
yes.
we identify with.
Yeah. Okay, so we have to speed this up a little bit because we come to the end of the meeting. So I want to have us hear two paragraphs. First is, if you want, you can close your eyes on this one. This is just so wonderful. This is paragraph 12 on page 595. And the book says, this world is full of miracles. Miracles stand in shining silence next to every dream of pain and suffering and of sin and of guilt that you have. That's where the miracle is. They are the dream's alternative. The choice to be the dreamer
rather than deny the active role in making up the dream. Miracles are the glad effects of taking back the consequence of sickness to its cause. See, the body is released because the mind acknowledges, quote, this is not done to me, but I am doing this. And thus the mind is free to make another choice instead. Beginning here, salvation will proceed to change the course of every step in the descent to separation until all the steps have been retraced, the latter gone, and all the dreaming of the world undone. That's Course in Miracles in one paragraph. Boom. Now, if you would, turn back to page 400. And we shall do tonight's reading, which is paragraph 8. Who's up to bat?
I guess it's me.
Okay, bring it to us.
If you but understood how much this strange concealment has hurt your mind, and how confused your own identification has become because of it, exclamation point, you do not see how great the devastation wrought by your faithlessness, for faithlessness is an attack that seems to be justified by its results.
For example, if you can't cross that river, you have no faith, right? Your faith is not coming, not coming, not coming. Remember, faith is that you're going to act on the belief that you can cross the river. Well, by you not having the faith, you will not engage in this activity. In fact, your faithlessness, complete absence of the faith, is keeping you on the shore on the other side.
It's a form of attack, and I never thought of that.
Nicely done. Thank you.
For by withholding faith, you see what is unworthy of it, and cannot look beyond the barrier to what is joined with you.
God, we really don't have much any time at all. Oh,
the next paragraph is so good, though.
I know. There's also a really good section. Everybody okay? We stay 5 more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, because after what she just read and the fact that she pointed out the attack, which is really critical for your own awakening, faithlessness is an attack. Not following the light is choosing the dark. You think it's neutral. It's not. It's an attack. Attack on God's plan for your salvation. Okay? Everybody turn to page 14. Just a little bit. This is really beautiful. Way up in the front of the book, chapter 1 even. And let's just read paragraphs 3 through 5. Brian, when you're ready, paragraph 3.
The idea of orders of need, which follows from the original error that one can be separated from God, requires correction at its own level before the error of perceiving levels at all can be corrected. You cannot behave effectively while you function on different levels.
Okay, the different levels competing.
However, while you do, correction must be introduced vertically from the bottom up.
Bottom up.
This is because you think you live in space, where concepts such as up and down are meaningful. Ultimately, space is as meaningless as time. Both are merely beliefs.
And then paragraph 4, please, Julie.
The real purpose of this world is to use it, the world, to correct your unbelief. You can never control the effects of fear yourself, because you made fear, and you believe in what you made. In attitude then, though not in content, you resemble your Creator, who has perfect faith in His creations, because He created them. Belief produces the acceptance of existence. This is why you can believe what no one else thinks is true. It is true for you because it was made by you.
And Walt, paragraph 5.
all aspects of fear are untrue because they do not exist at the creative level and therefore do not exist at all. To whatever extent you are willing to submit your beliefs to this test, to that extent are your perceptions corrected. In sorting out the false from the true, the miracle proceeds along these lines. Perfect love casts out fear. If fear exists, then there is not perfect love. But only perfect love exists. If there is fear, it produces a state that does not exist. Believe this and you will be free. Only God can establish this solution, and this faith is his gift.
Like that. Like that. The power of your own personal faith. Okay, let's have a quick survey.
Take a deep breath. We talked about a really personal, powerful tool. It's very private, and it's very powerful. And when you think about standing on the edge of that creek, and you're going to go to those stones, this is a very, very personal choice. It's a commitment. We're talking about faith. And when you stand in this room holding these hands, and you read through from the book that we have, it's faith in a very particular direction. It's faith in something that follows your awakening. See, a miracle is an awakening. But you have to have the faith now to walk the walk. Readiness is not mastery. I do pray all of us become ready, fully, fully ready for your own self-empowerment to stop the suffering. The pain will come, okay? You're deeply, deeply halfway through a roller coaster ride, okay? You're going to be in it until it's over. And there'll be pain and surprises along the way. This is just the way it is. This script is written. However, the suffering is not required. This is up to you, and it is your choice. This is the one remaining power you came here with, fully intact. And it will be activated by your personal faith when you walk the walk. And I think this book shows a very nice walk to walk. Thank you, amen. Uh-huh. Thank you. Ye the faithful!
You're right.
So every lesson.